Okay, item 318.
Request of Don McGillivray to address council regarding Washington High School Community Center.
Yes, others, I think, on the same subject, so if you want to come up together, that's fine.
319 is Jeff Cole to address council regarding Washington High School Community Center, and 320 is Robert McCullough to address council regarding Eastmoreland zone change request.
Come up as a trifecta and do it in order, if that's all right with all three of you. Go ahead, Don.
I didn't want to get between my two colleagues.
Well, I think you just did. So who's on first?
With your permission. As it happens, I was already on this subject, so I'm addressing the R7. Pardon me? I've never done this before. Robert McCullough, representing Eastmoreland. Good morning. I have a slide for you, and I'm speaking to you today representing the Peckerheads. I won't be dwelling on the insult. I've been called much worse. Our land use lawyer advised me it was simply a misunderstanding. I thought that meaningful public involvement was the phrase. He actually has told me that it was mean public involvement. So the issue here is Amendment M74. M74 pertains to an R7 application that we made back in 2013, submitted detailed studies. Planning Bureau agreed in writing in 2014. In 2015, the Planning Bureau changed its mind. We had filed over 100 pages of studies. Only one short letter was filed in opposition. We were ambushed during the hearing, our studies not mentioned, and we were not able to speak at the time. Virtually every similar request was granted. There are no records of this reversal. No emails, no memos, no studies, no agendas. We were told they never existed. Over 1 year of investigation, we have found one email that states, their methodology is different than ours. In part because our desired objectives are different. We still don't know what the objectives are. We know they did not include density because we actually have the density report. And you'll notice in the slide that the yellowed section indicates zero. And that's simply because the number of lots at issue in Eastmoreland is very, very small. We do, however, know that other issues prevailed. In spite of land use law, apparently family income was a decision-making issue. We do have the spreadsheet. You have it there. The spreadsheet indicates that someone was interested to make sure whether West Hills family incomes would be affected. The neighborhood that was affected was Eastmoreland. Interestingly enough, Reed, an identical neighborhood directly to our north, mistakenly was given the lowest family income on the east side, and their application was approved. We're not alone in this. The Bureau's own poll shows that their decisions are not popular with voters. In fact, issues of demolitions, greenery, urban canopy, all rank higher. Also, we're not alone in having discomforts with the question of public involvement. The chairs and directors gave you a report a month ago stating many of the same issues. My request is that you be guided by the facts of this matter in reviewing the amendment and not by any undocumented agendas. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning. Who'd like to be next? Go ahead, Don.
Morning. My name's Don McGillivray. I live in the Buckman neighborhood. I'd just like to go over some of the background on the Washington High School Community Center proposal. Proposal for the Washington Monroe Aquatics and Community Center began 35 years ago. This high school was closed in 1981 due to low enrollment. Within a year, the second Buckman Community Congress was held, where it was proposed that the Washington Monroe High School should be acquired and used for much-needed recreation, affordable housing, and other community activities. To do this, the REACH Community Development Corporation was created. In the mid-1980s, the idea of the Washington High School property was used to be used for a community center was highlighted in the park's futures plan. In the 1991 Buckman Neighborhood Plan, the property was identified as location for recreation and educational opportunities in Policy 6, Objectives 5, 6, and 8. Then in the year 2000, the Parks 2020 Plan also talked about this site for a new community and aquatic center. In 2003, Portland Public Schools formed their real estate trust. It was also about this time that this property was added to the Eastside Urban Renewal Area. They reviewed all their surplus school properties, and the Washington Monroe property figured prominently by becoming the highest priority for disposal. A citizen and stakeholder committee was formed to advise Parks about the property, which was soon followed by a second committee to delineate how much of the property would be needed for a recreation center site. It was determined that Parks should acquire 4.5 acres of the 7.2-acre site for $5.4 million. City Council approved the purchase of the property at the City Council meeting on July 28, 2004, and work proceeded to acquire the property with the unanimous support of the many people involved from the inner Southeast neighborhoods and businesses. Southeast Uplift chose the completion of the Washington Monroe Community and Aquatic Center as their highest priority for advocacy. This remains so to this day. In 2010, the project advanced further with $900,000 to do a project development study. In January 2011, the Portland Parks and Recreation Washington High School Community Center 111-page preliminary design process summary was completed by Sarah Architects. Another committee was developed to review the work and make recommendations. The size of the Aquatics and Community Center was put at 60,000 square feet for a construction price of approximately $40 million in a two-phase construction program. New businesses and apartments are being added to the inner Southeast like never before. With 1,500 new nearby apartments, the Washington Monroe Community Center becomes much more attractive for everyone. The Washington Monroe site is within walking distance of over 18,000 people.
Need you to wrap up, Don.
Just a second. A bike and bus ride for 85,000 people. 85,000 residents, or 10-minute drive for 300,000 people. This is a tremendous site in terms of serving people who are currently not served by a community center. It will make the area safer, more attractive to families, children, and everyone. It is our desire to keep the remaining public land in public ownership in the form of a civic plaza or additional much-needed open space. We wish to thank everyone who has diligently worked on and advocated for this project. We hope that significant progress will be made within the next 5 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Hales, Commissioners. I'm Jeff Cole. I live in Sunnyside. I'm a board member of Southeast Uplift, and our esteemed chair sits to my right, where we are taking on a renewed initiative to secure our long-promised community center on the old Washington Monroe High School site at Southeast 14th and Alder. And this is really important to me, to us, that we nurture our legacy as a progressive city, that the real measure of our success is not population growth or gastronomic wonders. Rather, it is the layering of our civic assets that reflects a continued deepening of our heritage, whether it be our gardens, rose, Japanese, Chinese, leech, rhododendron, our museums of art, science, industry, or our parks that range from deep forests to skateboards. Certainly the modern community center, encompassing recreation, the arts, the gathering of citizens, is central to our legacy, central to our progressive mission. And it can be done. Vancouver, British Columbia, with a Portland-sized population of 600,000, has 24 community centers, while we have 15. Parks Director Mike Abate, in his January 7th response to our Southeast Uplift letter, indicated he would be delighted to consider a public-private partnership to support the endeavor of building this community center. Mr. Abate encouraged us at Southeast Uplift to cultivate these private partnerships, and we will endeavor so. Today, I'm asking Council to pursue sooner than later purchase of the final 1.3 acres of property from Portland Public Schools so that this land, This land that has been publicly held for decades will continue to be so, and in turn added to the 4.5 acres Portland Parks already owns at this location. This additional acreage is a critical element to a program that includes newly built facilities while also creating the exterior park-like ambiance that open space enables. We've reviewed Ordinance 185561 that references this property, yet we have yet to see the IGA or any other contractual agreements regarding this public property and interested parties. As we grow and densify, our public venues become more important, for they are an essential element of our civic and civil urban life. We thank you for your support as we further develop the civic assets that make Portland truly great.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
By the way, Marianne has provided you with an example of a frog.
I wondered where that came from.
Is the frog we've offered to eat for you.
Thank you. If we kiss it, will it turn into a prince with $40 million?
Unfortunately, if you kiss it, it may turn into me, and then you'll be in trouble.
All right, Marianne. Thank you. Okay.